holy like the Lord? Indeed, there's no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, and the feeble get on strength. Those who were full hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Indeed, the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed. Our Father, we exalt you this morning. We say, indeed, you are the one that kills and makes alive. You are the one that brings down to Sheol, and you are the one that raises up. You are the one that makes poor, and you are the one that makes rich. Thank you, because those who are humbled, you can exalt. Thank you, because those who are lowly, you will raise up. Father God, we lay our hearts down before you today, and we lay our bodies on your altar. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord Jesus, we declare that you are Lord. Everybody say, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Say, Jesus is King.
Jesus is King.
Say it again, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is King.
Jesus is King. One more time, Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Last time, Jesus is King.
Jesus is King.
Hallelujah. Amen. We have come to receive insight. We have come to receive understanding. Therefore, we declare as follows.
Now I declare
that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I am being filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work, and I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Now, we have been on this subject for a little longer than I thought it would be, but I thank God for it. I believe it's a prophetic teaching. It's not something I really planned for, so I am going to continue speaking on that issue. The patient walk with God. That's what we ended up giving the series, all right, as a title, A Patient Walk with the Lord. Okay? Now, what do I want to speak on today? There's a sentence that keeps coming to my mind, and let me utter it, and that's what I'll teach them. Everybody say, too much self-determination. Yes, I believe that's what the Lord is saying. There's too much self-determination in the church. And that's what sometimes we are teaching. That's what sometimes we are practicing. It's self-determination. All right? And there's too much of it. The Holy Spirit is saying there is too much of it. And what that does is that it doesn't allow God to move. All right? Please listen to this. It's very important. You know, I told you once I went to teach somewhere. And somebody introduced part of their bulletin. All right? They are writing my name, you know. They want to talk about their preacher, and they put motivational speaker. You can imagine what I did. Because they had it distributed. I said, everybody, if you have this bulletin, can I see it? Wave it. All right, do you have a pen? He said, yes. Everybody, bring out the pen. Look at what the Ruth Meditational speaker under my name. Please cancel it. Is that laughing? I said, please cancel it. God forbid that I should inherit such a title. I told them, I am not a motivational speaker. See, let me tell you something about the gospel. You know, God is helping me, and I'm trying to preach the gospel gone gone. You know what the gospel gone gone?
Yes, sir.
Not something that sounds like it. I want the gospel. Let me tell you something about the gospel. To the average intelligent ears, it sounds foolish. You hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
To the average intelligent set of ears, it sounds foolish. Like the Red Prince said, tell the story of how he became a believer. I mean, you know, aristocratic family. That's where he came out, an only child of military father. Most of his uncles are in the British Army. And one day somebody invited him to a church. And he got there. Now he's an Anglican by upbringing, thank you. He grew up in an Anglican church, even though he was not a believer. He never knew what they were doing. All right? In fact, just a small joke. He said, as he was growing older, he decided to stop going to church. You know why? They used to say, have mercy on us, miserable sinners.
Yes,
so he said that I do enough sinning without being miserable. That is, why add this miserable to it? So let me continue sinning. And this miserable feeling, I don't need it added to my problems already. He never understood the gospel. Now, from that formal setting, he now went to a church, a meeting hall, let's not call it church, where the preacher was not a professional, but I think was a miner or a lumberjack. You know, those who fell tree, you know, they call felling of trees.
Uh-huh.
Something like that. So, he got there, looking at everybody funny. Then the preacher jumped up and down and all of that. You know, he wasn't used to that. Let's make a long story short. That was when he told the story of when the guy said, if you want this, well, he said, he didn't know what this was. You put up your hand, you know, like the way we make an altar call. So, next thing he knew, he saw his hand had gone up. Till he died, he swore he did not put up that hand. He was almost 90 when he passed on. Every time he would preach, he would explain to you that hand, I didn't put it up. So he believed that the Lord helped him put up his hand and started that journey that we all know him for now. But where I'm going is that the person who was talking with him now asked him at the end, do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Now that's why I'm telling this whole story. He was a philosopher. So he reasoned that I can't say what the death of a man 2,000 years ago, almost, this was some time ago, almost 2,000 years ago, have to do with the sins I've committed in my life. That's something the story. He told the man, he said that man was very wise. He didn't argue with him because he was a champion of points, you know what I'm saying? Reasoning, philosophy. Uh-huh. So the man just prayed for him and then the Holy Spirit took over. Let's make a long story short. He became a believer. He didn't know about being filled with the Spirit. Nobody preached it to him. He read in the scriptures. Yeah, so there are people you can argue some arguments with. You understand? Because their own story is very, very different. All right? Nobody persuaded him. Nobody told him. Anything that comes out of your mouth, just open it and be saying it. Just keep on saying it. That training people in speaking in tongues is unnecessary. Christians do it. I think we should don't. Okay? You go through the scriptural examples. It didn't work like that. Just by the way, small aside. The goal is not speaking in tongues. The goal is being filled with the Spirit. Just like you cannot practice, you can't train them in what to do to make it look like they are filled with the Spirit. In such a manner also, you can't train them. Do you follow where I'm going? Those who didn't have anybody cajoling them because the aim was not speaking in tongues. The aim was being filled with the Spirit. Focus on it. Don't focus on something else. And that's why we make the mistakes we make. And that's why, please read my book, Receive the Holy Spirit. Please, I'm recommending it this morning. Read that book. Receive the Holy Spirit. Read the book. Okay? That's why a lot of people now, a lot of us as Christians, our focus is so much on speaking in tongues,
we don't realize that it was not a major thing about the filling of the Spirit. The other things were more important. And I can tell you this, what was most important was the ability to bear witness with boldness. The most important feature of being filled with the Spirit was the ability to bear witness with boldness. I will say it one more time. The most important feature of being filled with the Spirit is the ability to bear witness for Christ Jesus with boldness and confidence. The Lord Jesus said, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." What were they waiting for? For what purpose? So that they can be his witnesses. Starting in that Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then Nigeria. You know? Do you get my point? I'm just adding Nigeria to it. We are preaching from Nigeria here. It's the uttermost part of the world. So let's get that clear. So, that's a small aside, right? Let's go back to what we're saying. The gospel being what? Foolish. He being a wise philosopher. Okay? When they asked him, "What do you think? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins?" He said, "A man died 2,000 years ago. I sinned the last 20-something years, over the last 20-something years. How do you correlate the two?" Naturally speaking, it cannot be correlated. It's very difficult. You need to go into the heavens to be able to see the connection between the sacrifice of Christ Jesus and your sins. What am I trying to say? The gospel is not reasonable. Let me explain. The gospel itself, now there's an outworking of it that the natural person can understand. For example, the fact that you don't tell lies. Anybody can understand that. The fact that you don't cheat, anybody can understand that. But that from one day to the next, you are turned inside out from being somebody who lied, who cheated, who was dishonest and all of that. All of a sudden, you now start hating those things of the flesh overnight. That cannot be worked out by psychology. It can't be. If a psychologist were to work on you, you'll be doing psychoanalysis for months. But Jesus actually turns people around. What am I trying to say? The gospel is not reasonable. We just read here, the Lord makes poor and the Lord makes rich. The Lord can make somebody who was poor today. You see the fellow in a few days, he's very rich. And there is no, I've been saying this again and again, stop trying to follow the way somebody did something in this life. With the aim of, getting to where they got to. It doesn't work. How Solomon became king is not the way David became king. David's father was not a king. His father did not set him on the throne as a young boy and have strong people surround him. He didn't. The prophet came to his house when he was but a little boy. They had to fetch him from where he was in the fields. And then the prophet Samuel anointed him. And he went back to his business. And that grace that came upon him began to work exploits in his life. Of course, you know the story, how he killed the bear, the lion, and then he killed Goliath. And then Saul. That story, if you read the different parts, it can be very difficult to understand, but let me not go into details. But just to give you a small summary about it. Then Saul made him a soldier in his army. At the point in time, it was like his armor bearer. Then he began to win battles. Then jealousy started. Saul has killed his thousands, and David killed his tens of thousands. Those girls caused problems. The jealousy started. You know the story. So he had to run away. He ran away and he kept on getting stronger and stronger, and people were defecting to him. Until finally, Saul died in one battle that did not concern David. And then all Israel accepted him as their king. Solomon didn't understand all of that. Read your whole Bible. Solomon didn't fight one battle. All the battles he fought were internal. They were not sword fights. There was no shooting of arrows. He was just saying, because of wisdom, was in the plots of Joab, Adonijah. You understand? He saw their plots. Then he fought that one. He was making critical decisions in removing this man, pushing this man here. And by wisdom, he built Israel to be a very strong empire. Very rich. Very, very rich. And then he backslid in old age. But let's not talk about his old age. How did he become king? Somebody placed him on the throne. He didn't have to fight a battle. So go and listen to somebody on how he became rich. Again, let me say it. Christians, stop following people on how you can become rich. That is a sin as far as God is concerned. I said the way it is. So I went to preach in Port Harcourt. We do questions and answers at the end of our seminars. One young man asked me, is it a sin to want to be rich? I said, yes. People were surprised that, Pastor Wang, I thought you believe in prosperity. I cannot believe in prosperity and disagree with scripture. To want to be rich, is it a sin? Yes, it is. First, what is a sin? A sin does not mean I killed somebody. A sin just means that the way I'm doing it, God doesn't like it. That's all. Is anything that is in opposition with God's desires, his will, his instructions, his character? That's what sin is. There doesn't have to, look, you don't have to have a commandment against it for it to be a sin. You can just have understanding, and it's a sin. There are things, you've heard me say things like this before, there are things that people will do, or even preachers will tell us to do. And I say, no, I can't do that. Why? If the Lord catches me. One of our brothers, just to give you an idea, there was this issue that Naira may start falling, and it fell against the international currencies like dollar and stuff. And the relative said, bring all your Naira, let me convert to dollar for you. And he was thinking about it, and he mentioned to his wife. And his wife said, if God catches you. Now, where is it in the Bible that you cannot convert your Naira to dollar to hold, to hedge against the fall in the Naira? It's not in the scriptures. His wife just looked at him and said, If God catches you, that small statement, both of them knew what it meant. They knew why she said it. He knew he had forgotten something that they knew. Let me tell you, Christianity is a life of sacrifice. If it's about value, he lost, naturally speaking, 50% of the value of the money he had. He said, yes, but at least God was happy with me. Now, I'm not getting into discussion of what is wrong with it, what is right with it. I'm not getting into discussion of that at all. But just know that they just knew that, we can't do that. Just by the way, let me just tell you, small aside now, again, along that line. See, your actions must match your prayer, even when it's risky to you. You can't be on your knee every day praying for your country and be betting against it. See, I'm not saying it's a sin. I mean, like, it's not morally bad. Just make up your mind. Make up your mind. See, before we start, make up your mind. Once you get into the life of Christianity, it starts costing you. It starts making demand. There are times you will see an opportunity right there to do something that looks like everybody says good, but it opposes your testimony. It opposes your prayer. It opposes many things. And it's going to cost you. You say, let it cost me. Why? I won't be able to testify that this was what the Lord did for me. Christianity, you know, every day I think about it, when Jesus said, if you want to follow me, take up your cross. People don't know the meaning of cross. The only people that carried crosses were those who are going to be impaled on them. Do you get my point? If you see a man on the road carrying a cross, say, but what do you do? Sometimes you can tell us, please, I'm helping my friend. What did he do? You know somebody helped Jesus Christ? But the point is that take up your cross means just know you're dead. And then come and follow me. Your plans for security, for your life, for your ministry, for everything is a sin.
I'll say it the way it is.
You can't try and hedge. No. You have to have a good plan. That plan is against God. God said, you are secure. You can't follow me. See, you have to be careful. All right? To be, as a Christian, if you understand. And it's so difficult to judge things. It's so difficult to judge. One of the things is that you can see one person. Companies here and there worth $1 billion. So you can see somebody like that. And you say, hey, these people have money. I go, Father, I want to be rich. Now, in your mind, what you call rich may be different from what you're observing. Yes. Because I went to preach somewhere one day. I said, how many people believe that the governor of Enugu then is enjoying? I just said, if you believe the governor is enjoying, put up your hands. They all did. I said, how many people there want to become a governor so that they too they can enjoy? All their hands went up. I said, okay, see, let me tell you what the Lord is saying. None of you here will ever be a governor. Which kind of pastor did this send to come and curse them? I went over it again. They made the same mistakes. I said, you see, being governor for you is about what? Enjoyment. There are a lot of people that you think are very well-to-do. And they are looking at you like, you don't understand. Why I'm doing what I'm doing is that, let me add my own words, I can't sit here. That God has put inside my heart a desire to have things go right in some areas. So my investments for you is, and you hear poor people, that's how you know poor people. They are, you know, not cash poor, but mentally poor. This is really, what are they looking for? How can a man be building another university and ask, you are asking, what is he looking for? You really don't know life. You're too small-minded. You're still focused around yourself. You don't understand that if I built a university, even though I have one already, that's another set of lecturers, another set of students, another set of, do you know, that is what they call economic activity. And somebody has to be responsible for it. It's not going to happen. Government can't do it. Governments always mess it up. There's no way in the world government can do it effectively. Government, by virtue of the fact that government is the village goat, they always mess it up. Those of you who know village goat, you know what I'm talking about. Every government is a village goat. Okay, for those in Australia who don't know what a village goat is a goat that belongs to nobody, but belongs to the whole village. So it ends up going starving. If they tie it somewhere, it will die of starvation. Meanwhile, all the other personal goats in the village are fat. Because nobody is taking responsibility for it. It's everybody's responsibility. So just for those who don't know what they call village goats in eastern Nigeria, you understand my point? Uh-huh. Even the rest of Nigeria may not know what we call a village goat. Okay, so now they know. We have taught them something. So somebody has to be responsible for it. Are you following my point? So, you see somebody doing something, it's a matter of, I am being responsible for something. But you, who go to pray, you may be thinking of something else. When this thing is established, me too, I'm going to fly like up and down. Meanwhile, the person that you're saying is flying up and down, he hates the idea of flying. He'd rather be in his house. You know, I tell you people about me. The idea of going here and there, to me, it's not fun. It's not holiday. It's not interesting. What I'm talking about that, so some people you think I enjoy, they wish they didn't have to do this. To them, it's a responsibility. I'm just trying to explain how it's so difficult to judge things we are watching from outside. So the young man, daddy, let me not forget what I was saying. He said, is it a sin to want to be rich? I said, let me answer like this again. Because I answered it twice. First, I said, yes, it is. Yes, it is a sin to want to be rich. I said, but let me answer it again. It is the want that's a sin. The rich is not a sin. Yeah, the rich. So, if God confers wealth on you, you have not sinned. But if you go around life wanting to be, you have sinned. You will pass through many hurtful lusts. You will pierce yourself through with many sorrows. Is the will of God, that is the commandment that God has given, it's been written like that. You can't change it. You can't. Jesus said, take up your cross. Brethren, let's go back to the so-called old-time religion was not a religion of ignorance. Was a religion of dedication, selflessness. A lot of us have become too knowledgeable and have thrown away the old-time dedication, the old-time holiness movement. It's a mistake we made. I joined in the early days. I was small, I was like 18 years old, wicked person. Look, if God had punished people, he would have spared me under 20. You get my point? So we joined those days, of course, we're following what everybody was doing. But God said, don't leave Banky, I will handle him. And he handled me. Oh, he used to handle me very well. We were discussing during the teachers' meeting, was a few days ago. Somebody, I said, see, Eddie was asking that question about somebody maybe said that he did something for God and he prayed with that and God answered. So how can we now say you ask in the name of Jesus, not on the power of the things you have done? I said, listen, if you want to start telling personal stories, I will tell you personal stories in which God came after me. I did something for God. I never had problems in my life. They preached to me, do something and God will do for you. These are prayers I never had as a student. Never, never. I said, okay. They said, do this one and then you pray. And then God will now do, I did like that. Then the devil now did. God didn't do anything. The Lord sent, he said, God will rebuke the devourer. For the first time in that university, he sent the devourer after me. And I went and told the people that told us, he said, you see, Satan is trying. You say, hey, bro, that's not how you preached at the beginning. At the beginning, you preached that he said, prove me now. I said, I've gone on the proving thing. He said, this is a seed. You didn't say it was a seed. You told me, prove me now. I just took the doctrine and threw it in the basket where it belonged. Dust basket, I mean. So I said, look, oh boy, if anybody wants to start, that's not the first one. Hey, God went after me. There was another one. Somebody talked about your seed. Anything you need, just look and plant. That if you need money, you go and plant money. If you need time, you plant. You go and give out time. Me too, I got up. The first time was devourer. This time was lack. I was so broke. I had never had that experience. My parents took good care of us in school. I don't know what happened that time, before days of communication. Things were rough. I had no problem with generosity. But once I told the Lord, I read somewhere that if I need 1,000, I have to put something in the ground. God said, put it, let me see. And I did. Now people now started using that. I say, you see the devil? Why do you magnify the devil so much? Why don't you just say what I was saying, what you were teaching me is false? It's not the devil. When I was into one woman preach on TV, well, I didn't catch his program on time. But apparently the studio, it can happen. Power goes off. If it's Nigeria, we are used to it. Just say, please, sorry for the breaking transmission. We're going to put on our diesel generator, But this was in the United States where things like that don't happen often. And they didn't have a power failure. Suddenly, there was a problem in the studio. And the whole studio scattered. They had to go offline. I didn't watch that part. It was when they returned online that I was watching. And I was seeing this woman, I was not commenting, that you see the revelation she was about to share was so powerful. The devil gets afraid. The devil now scattered the studio. I said, Mama, God is with you in the studio, and the devil scattered it. I don't know how you would reason. My own is the devil. And then when I heard the revelation, it was a lie. Yeah, she was lying. She was lying. She was lying to us. I said, God was talking to... No, I'm sorry. God was trying to stop you from telling us lies. You said the devil. She was telling us the miracle of 77 naira, or the dollars. Because you plant it, and each one is 7, perfection in your life, another 7 on dollar. And the Lord said, Michelle, then she says it's the devil. Those in Australia, I don't know what is Michelle. Michelle, shut your mouth. But the Lord was trying to tell this woman, shut up and stop lying to my children. And that says the devil. When she was like, this revelation is so powerful that the devil gets scared. You are with the Holy Spirit and God in the studio. And the devil was so scared, he scattered God out of the place. People, relax now. Relax now. It's not the devil that did that. It's the Lord that just said, my friend, shut up. But you still insisted on telling the lies because you wanted to raise money. Now, what I'm trying to say is this. The want is the problem with rich. The rich is not a problem. The desire, that affection for material abundance is a problem. God doesn't like it. Listen to this. It will take many of us through situations in life until we are so frustrated, until we lose all faith in material things. Many of us were stuck because God says, you have not gotten my point. Anytime you wake up in the morning, you are afraid. You look at your bank balance and you are afraid. You look at what people call worth, total worth in life, which is your assets minus your liabilities. What they call asset, landed property, number of shares of companies you hold, and the value of those shares, gold that you've kept somewhere, bank as a fixed deposits, companies you probably started that's doing well. Those are your assets that's giving you cash flow. The cash flow quadrant of Robert Kiyosaki. Your liabilities are the loans you have taken. The car you bought on credit. All right? You also have liabilities. Now, don't laugh. Your children. Yes, they eat money. They don't bring money. You have to pay school fees. It's just add all those kind of things. Now, they don't normally add children. I mean, it doesn't sound morally sound, but in the mind, they add them. But on paper, yeah, you won't add it on paper, but in the mind, if I saw one video yesterday, one guy was dancing. See the dance. The dance was crazy. Said the dance when you have paid school fees. Well, you know, it's beginning of session now. So they don't add it, all right, on paper, but people think about it mentally. The sum of it is what they call your worth. You've calculated your own. It's minus. I know, please, let me just tell you something here. Some people did not know it before. When you hear richest man in the world, it doesn't mean anything really. Last week, what's the name of our guy? Oracle. Larry Ellison. He woke up one morning and suddenly was the richest man in the world. I don't know how many hours it lasted or he's still there now. I don't know. No, I think it was in the evening when he wanted to go and sleep. When he was going to sleep in the evening, he realized he was the richest man in the world. Why? Because that day they published earnings. And because he provides servers, it's one of the large Oracle is the company, is the largest shareholder in Oracle. Because they provide a lot of, like you do ChatGPT, those of you who do Chat, it probably runs on Oracle servers. They just published how much contracts they were getting and all of that, and the stock value shot up. The value, the perception of the people is all that changed. The real value, what it was producing, did not change. And suddenly he's the richest man in the world. Let me not sit on talking about that. So don't worry. Do you get my point? There was one man the other day. I still read about him last week again, just checking up on him, how he's doing. All right, he's still in prison. Just wanted to be sure he's still in prison. He's not a Nigerian. But one day, he was a billionaire. And his company was worth more than Ford. He started a car company. That car company started. I won't mention the name because I don't want to send you on an assignment to be looking for him. There was a day it was worth more than Ford Motor Company. Yet he had not sold one car. One vehicle like this, one, had not been sold. Yet he was already a billionaire. because his company suddenly was worth more than Ford that was selling millions of cars a year. Why? The perception. Some of them rushed there to go and buy the stock. Suddenly what they call the market capitalization was suddenly more than that of Ford. One of our brothers, I told him that, I said, hey, this car is worth more than Ford, and they've not made anything. I said, something's wrong here. I was so angry with them, with human beings. What is wrong with all of you? 2 years later, that guy was in prison. It was all a fraud. It was a fraud. It was a well-packaged scam. He said he was making one big vehicle. So he did a video to show the vehicle working. Actually, you know what he did? He made an empty carcass, you know, just nice outside, towed it to the top of a hill, and they rolled it down the hill, videoed it, and turned the video so as to make the hill a flat land. When they found that this was all a lie, they packaged his butt and quickly locked it in prison. Not only is he no longer a billionaire, of course, the stock value dropped to zero, almost zero. Maybe from $50 is now 2 cents. Yeah, it really happened. One Nigerian guy did it to them the other day. Yeah, he too became a billionaire. What opened his backside was when he decided to go and buy a football club in Europe. Nigerian guy. He packaged it so well. Real packaging. He wasn't making nothing. Doing no business. Yet he so packaged himself that he became a billionaire. What exposed him was that if you had just made your money and kept quiet, he decided to buy a football club. So, see, this is what happens when people make wealth a goal. Christians, the desire to be rich is a sin. I will say it again. People don't like it because we have heard so much motivational speaking. Christianity does not allow you to have that desire. No, we preach, we have deliberately disobeyed scripture and glamorized, you know, vanity. But the fact still is, those who want is the want. The rich is not a problem. Say, Pastor Banky, how can they be rich because God only gives us what we desire? It's not true. It is not true. Who lied that lie to you? When did David desire to be king? When did Joseph desire to be prime minister? When did Paul desire to be an apostle? When? Why do we behave like we don't read the scriptures? When? Go and read the story of David's lineage. Everybody amongst his children that desired his throne died. What happened to Absalom? He died. What happened to Amnon? Solomon had to kill him. No, sorry, not Amnon. Adonijah. Solomon had to kill him. But Solomon was the Lord's anointed. When did Joseph pray to be prime minister in Egypt? The only prayer that guy prayed is, God, you know I didn't do anything. I served my master with my whole heart. Now I'm in prison. Please, I want to go home. And he never went home. The only prayer he prayed is, Lord, I want to go home. When did you hear him say that? Okay, I inferred it. Well, how did I infer it? Because if he ever knew to pray, the fact that they can ask for a favor of the cupbearer, please, when you are released, according to my interpretation of your dreams, remember me. And you know, God can snatch memories from you. And the Lord snatched the memory of Joseph from his head for the next 2 years. So I can imagine Joseph say, people are not faithful. They don't appreciate. The only thing, we know that Joseph was going to Kimote's church, he will have caused that man die. But I can just imagine that Pastor Kimote had preached to him that, don't worry, let no anger or bitterness dwell in your heart. Otherwise, if that guy had gone to another church, I won't mention the name. After 6 months, remove the cover over his head. Take the sand, hold the sand, and pour it on the ground. As long as sand is under your feet, the favor I did for you that you forgot, the Lord will reclaim it. I've told Christians, stop witchcraft. You hear what I said? Stop this witchcraft. Stop it. It's not Christians. Let's stop that thing. If God wants to punish somebody, may he punish him. If he wants to bless him, let him bless. Stop looking at human beings. You don't know who God wants to bless. You just do what is right. So he wasn't angry with anybody. He continued his prisoner walk. Please, wherever you are, continue your prisoner walk. Continue your walk where they are paying you poorly. Please, I'm begging you. The fact that you are not supposed to be in prison doesn't mean you shouldn't walk when you are there. See, work is for your good. Are you getting my point? Yes. Idleness can kill. Yes. Idleness will give you heart disease. So please, when you are in prison, volunteer. Say, let us start. I'm not supposed to be here. I didn't do anything. Let's, for records. But doesn't mean I won't keep busy. So I'm a Bible teacher. Those of you want to learn the Bible, I will be teaching the Bible if the warders agree. We'll do 2 hours in the morning, 2 hours in the evening. By the time you have finished your sentence, you'll be a Bible scholar. I also know physics. I can teach physics in the afternoon. By the time you finish your prison sentence, you'll no longer be the ignorant person that is sentenced. Keep busy. You hear what I said?
Yes,
what did I say?
Keep busy.
Keep busy. Don't let bitterness remove that expression of your skill and gift. Back to Joseph. One day the man remembered him when it was necessary. If that man had remembered, you see, may they not remember you before the right time.
Amen.
It's important. Some of you, it happens to people. Somebody will remember, your name is Joseph, they remember you. They use all the effort to release you. And then, after 6 months of the chief, the cupbearer, leaving jail, you two have left Egypt. Then when the dream needs to be interpreted, nobody can interpret it. So family will now kill your father, you, your relatives, everybody. People are going to say, I sent you to Egypt. Just relax. Say, Pastor Bagi, I don't understand. What am I? Just do one thing. And you see something I want to explain. Be consistent in what is right. Thanksgiving is right. Be thankful. See, God gives up on people. You don't want him to give up on you. People can whine so much. You say, okay, is it food they want? Give them food. It is not unbelief to tell God, say, look, you can keep it if you don't want to give me. It's not unbelief. That won't stop him. At the point that they grumble so much, God says, is it food? Yes. Oh, yeah. Order chicken. I know why I'm giving you manna. I know why. There's a reason why. Must I explain everything? Fact, because they must I explain everything? I don't have to. One of the things that my wife and I, of course, we grew up, keep on learning until now, we're still learning, keep getting better. One of the things I do, of course, you've heard me preach about it, actually, I've thought about it. I said, a husband and wife, if your husband has to be reasonable every time before you follow him, then you follow a stranger too. Because a stranger, if he's reasonable and is accurate, you should do what he says. So there's a part of trust. One day I carried that into my mind. I just did it to my wife long ago. This is not now. No, long ago. You remember the story?
Yes.
I just stood outside. She was coming. I just said, no, don't tell her why. I said, sweetheart, take the other gate. As soon as you open it, run. She didn't ask any questions. She knew there must be a reason. She parked her car outside. Opened the other gate and ran. She got into the house. What's going on? Said, there's a colony of bees at the gate. So people will wait. Why? Is your husband, for goodness sake? Run first. Please run first. If it's a stranger, don't run. Because some of these people are criminals. You understand my point? If it's a stranger. But if it's your husband, run first for goodness sake. It's good. I'll be honest with you, it felt good. I told him, two different women told me the same thing. Why are you marrying this person? He says, one person that can tell me, close your eyes. Give me your hands. And I'll feel confident to close my eyes. Two different ladies. In fact, the first lady that told me that, what she said is, this guy said, close your eyes, give me your hands. He said, I'll keep one eye open like this. I said, I forbid in the name of the Lord from marrying the fellow. You can tell me this. She liked him. She was, you know, butterflies in my belly, all those kind of things. See, butterflies lead people astray. Butterfly is supposed to be on flower, on trees. Once they enter your belly, go and pray. There's nothing like falling in love. It's a misleading experience. If you fall in love, you have been misled. You should walk into love. Falling is always bad. Anyone that falls must rise. A righteous man can fall in love 7 times, but he must rise. So, see, it is not what you desire. It's not what you desire. It is not what you desire. God can do beyond that. And don't be afraid not to desire. Motivational speech has told us that you have to have a strong desire. Yes, concerning what? Not concerning where you are going, but concerning what you are supposed to do and concerning righteousness, concerning holiness, those things. What you're supposed to do is part of holiness, all right? Concerning righteousness and holiness, have a strong desire. Concerning righteousness and holiness, you must know where to use your spiritual principles. God has told you he can do far above what you can ask or think. Bear that in mind. See, your desires in the Lord, okay, must be things that are, can I use a word? Hey. Yeah, let's be honest. That are spiritual. But how do we crystallize in the physical realm? Don't focus your heart on that. I'll give an example. Back to preaching. Okay? Okay. This man I talk about all the time. Because I listen to him and he inspires me a lot. Derek Prince. As a little believer, the word came to him. It shall be a spring. I can't remember for sure. Then it shall be like this little spring shall become a big stream. Then it shall become a river. Shall become a mighty river. Then it shall become an ocean, you know. God was just telling him what he would do in his life. And there was no plotting. There was no plotting that he plotted to get to where he got to. I'm preaching today that the Holy Spirit says there's too much self-determination in the body of Christ and it has to stop. He arrived, I think it was in New Zealand, and they told him to sign papers. For what? They had been broadcasting his messages without discussing with him on radio. And they had been getting mails. So they needed to put together an organization to handle the ministry in New Zealand, where he just used to go and preach. He had friends there. So the birth of Derek Prince Ministries New Zealand was not discussed with him ahead of time. And they put together an organization called Derek Prince Ministries, I think it's New Zealand. If I'm mistaken, then maybe I got the country wrong. But the principle, it happened. And he went away. At the end of the day, while he was still alive, because he passed on some years ago, he said they were broadcasting his messages daily in China in 4 Chinese dialects. He had nothing to do with it. They changed his name. They gave him a Chinese name. And nobody discussed ahead with Derek Prince. At the time, his messages were being aired worldwide. Last time I checked, was over 100 languages. One man really can't coordinate such things. The Lord just poured out his spirit. I mean, we've enjoyed a little bit of it in Kingdomward. of such an arrangement. Not exactly like that, but at least, in fact, there was one radio station that one brother was running by himself. When I say running by himself, it's very funny. He would take messages and go and give them that I preached. And they'll give them money. And they'll be hearing it. When we found out, we had to then say, bro, it's not necessary. Don't give yourself the work. If you have the money, okay, pay them. Then let us know. So we'll free you from what they will air. And he has been doing his thing by himself. One of the first ones that we had was when we went to Port Harcourt one day. One brother just came and met our reverend and said, he wants this thing to go to his own state. So the reverend said, okay. But we always warn people that if you want to do things like that, let us know. The reason is just simply because we're experienced in the negotiations and all of that. He told us where he wanted to use. So we now negotiated with them. His idea was to pay for a quarter. Pay him quarter by quarter. Then, so when our man here now told him how much the money was, is that all? So he paid for a year. Yeah, because coming from where he was based, it felt, you know, different prices, different regions. He was surprised at how much those guys were charging. So he paid for a whole year. So our job is sending materials. If I can keep counting. Someone here said that, no, across Nigeria, you think I'm the one that just... Look, there was one guy, one of the reasons why we spread at the time was one man. I don't know if he listened to Pastor Banky, I don't know, but to him it was business. He went out of his way to get us radio station all over, mostly Middle Belt, Northern Side. And God gave us the money. Next thing we knew, we're in 20-something of them. Too much self-determination. They will don't let the Holy Spirit work. And that's what the Lord is complaining about. The problem with that self-determination is that a lot of time is headed in the wrong direction. If you had preached the message that we are trying to operate by to a man like David, I see the flock, my father's sheep. I see it. All over the hillside. They are grazing. Wake up in the morning. AI will generate picture of flock of goats and sheep for him. Because look at this boy. You are going to be king in Israel. You will get this flock, but you will be human beings. But if you had allowed him, he will go to a school of agriculture. You hire people from biological sciences, how they can improve the DNA production, they shorten the gestational period of sheep. That's what you'll be, I'm going to say, David, what you are doing, it's not like it's bad. It's just that we have something else to do. What you actually need is a military school. But what are you developing? School of agriculture and biology. What you need is a school of warriors. Because I'm going to make you a shepherd over my people. You know, Peter was there, fishing. He said, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Nothing wrong with fishing. It's what you are fishing that issue now. Follow me. And that's the issue. We don't follow hard enough. Please, let me say it again. Who said this? Okay, I was in Sokoto. One of our brothers was preaching. Said the Holy Spirit is not a tool we use. It's a Lord we follow. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
He said the Holy Spirit is not a tool we use. It's the Lord we follow. He goes ahead. He determines where you will go, where you will preach, what you will say, what business you will do. You don't go and make up your mind and say, I've learned some keys. Now collect the keys and start applying to your plans. No. You don't go ahead, collect keys, and you start using the keys to enforce your own plans. That's the problem we have. Too much self-determination. I will achieve this by this age. God said, I'm looking at you. And then we get a few testimonies. Look, listen. Be very careful when you are using people's testimonies. You know the Bible says what? He himself does not know how. That statement is very critical for you to bear in mind. He himself does not know how. What does that mean? It means that when I'm sharing the testimony, it does not take away from the word of God. Many times people don't know exactly what God did. They only know the result in their lives. Do you follow my point? What's the name of this man that used to preach on? Could you not tarry with me for 1 hour? I usually know his name, just that he just escaped me now. All right? Anyway, do you know how he got saved? In the midst of the confusion in his life, he was a very well-to-do kid. His father was very wealthy, gave him all the nice things in life. One day he sat his father down and talked about the confusion. Larry Lee, that's his name. Talked about the confusion in his life. His father had not been a spiritual person. He said to him, if any young man has everything you have, and they're still having these kind of issues, they must be on drugs. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
That was when he went mental. Yes, after that. And there was no help anywhere. He couldn't take it. So they packaged him and locked him up in a Catholic psychiatric hospital. I emphasize the word Catholic because they had crosses on the wall. And they had Bibles in the place. So he took the Bible and began to read. Now, you see where I'm going. How did he get saved? He read the Bible. He read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When he was done, he saw, that is, it became clear who Jesus was to him. So he didn't know how to pray. So he got on his knees and just called the name Jesus, I think 3 times. That was the only way he knew to pray. Jesus. 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 And the power of God actually came into the room and saved him, delivered him. He became okay. He was a big boy. He had friends. Some of them rock stars, movie stars, and all of that. He started calling them one by one. He said, oh boy, that's what I've been looking for. Because they were all looking for something. Running up and down. Smoking this and that. I found it. They said, how? Where did you find it? He said, get a Bible, get a Bible, get a New Testament. They all went to look for a New Testament. He said, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you're done, get on your knees and shout Jesus 3 times. You can be laughing. Testimonies. They were getting delivered all over the place. That was his prescription. Get on your, get the Bible, get it. He would talk to them on the phone. See. To put this is our goodness, say after me, Lord Jesus, I don't know what to call it, na religion. Who are you? That's all the question that Paul asked. After that, the Lord took over. I'm the Jesus you have been persecuting. Okay, now you will do this. After I began to follow, I've told people here. I say, you cannot know Jesus as Savior. It's not possible, except you know him as Lord. Saving is a gift that he gives to those who follow. Salvation, you can't, you don't say, I knew Jesus as my Savior, I did not know him as my Lord. I say, it's like saying that the water did not touch me and I got wet. You can't be wet except there's water. So you cannot tell me that I got saved. I didn't know Jesus as my Lord. It's not possible. Salvation is a gift he gives to those who follow. If we want deliverance, follow. He doesn't save those who stay behind. It's always a follow me. A lot of people want to say, Jesus, go ahead. When you reach there, call me. If you need anything, let me know. But I'm busy with my own business. Are you a Christian? Yes. Are you saved? I'm saved. It doesn't work like that. Either you're following or you're not saved. The only persons he saves are those that follow. Why did I tell that story again? To let you know that people's testimonies, you can't just be the doctrine around it. I cannot now say to you now, anybody that wants to give his life to Christ must read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Can I say that? No. I can't say that. After all, Paul did not read Matthew. He fought Matthew. He fought Luke. He fought Mark, which was the story of Peter, and fought John. He scattered all of them everywhere. And yet he was saved. Because seeing the Lord Jesus Christ is what saves you. Following him is what saves. So that's a small aside to explain the fact that you can't build doctrines around people's testimonies. They do illustrate, however, certain things about God. But the Bible says he himself does not know how. He does not know the intricate details. See, the kingdom of God is like a seed that a man plants. He sows the seed. Then the seed grows up. Then it bears fruit. And he said when a crop permits, it brings forth the sickle to harvest. But how does that whole thing happen? He himself, what? Does not know. So be careful when people are giving testimonies. Somebody will tell you that, I just knew that this was what happened in my life. See, Joseph can come and preach to you too. Everybody, have a dream. What did I say? Have a dream. Turn to your neighbor, have a dream. What is a dream? A dream is that by which you know where God is going in your life. Turn to your neighbor, write it down. Where God is going. Where God is going. All right. Your dream, brethren, we preach some of these things sometimes. I wonder why we do. I'm sure I preach things like that. All right. I wonder why we do. Because somebody would have asked, Brother Joseph, did somebody preach this to you first before you dreamt your dream? Did you deliberately dream that dream? Because instead of telling me to have a dream, you should have said, receive a dream when the Lord gives you. I can't have it. You did not have the dream. What I'm saying is, so you did not decide to have a dream. You woke up one morning and you discovered that you dreamt a dream. And you did not know what it meant. Most dreams that you will have, if you know the meaning, you probably are confused. That is, if it's a future of what God will do. Most dreams you will know are the ones that will correct you. Do you get my point? The dreams of tomorrow, you will not understand until it is fulfilled. Until it's fulfilled, just be perambulating, going around, trying to really understand, unless somebody comes to interpret. Even then, it will fall short. It's part of the glory of God. It will fall short. Joseph dreamed the dream. He didn't know what it meant. It was his brothers that got angry because they understood what it implied. We were out on the fields. We're gathering sheaves. We put them down. All your sheaves bowed down to mine. My brothers, next time, you guys should try and put stick in the middle to help it stand straight. What happened was that now I'm adding my own story to it. In his confusion, maybe he thought it was a dream about agricultural method. You're not getting what I'm saying? Maybe he wanted to tell them that the way I walk is what you guys should follow. He didn't think it was superiority. I'm just adding this one to it. So when they told the story, maybe they had been farming and they've been telling them, put the thing deep by 6 inches. They had been using maybe 10 inches. And he was saying, 6 inches will be better. Then when he dreamt, what was he going to interpret? You see, I told you guys, 6 inches is the depth of planting of grain for a better harvest. So maybe, I'm just saying maybe. But the brother said, you don't know what you're saying. You are saying you will rule over us. It's not about ruling. He dreamed the second, he did not plan it. He dreamed about the stars and the moon and the sun bowing down to him. And then his father interpreted it wrongly. Are you saying that me and your mother, the star and the moon, we found out later, was not his father and his mother because his father never bowed down to him? Would have been out of order. But the sun god of Egypt bowed down to him. The moon god of Egypt bowed down to him. Do you follow my point?
Yes.
Now, where I'm going is that, did he plan the dream? You know, he did not. So why am I telling you to plan your own dream? This is the word of the Lord to the people of God. He will give you his own dream. And what you should do is plant yourself in the place where you can receive his dream. That's what you need to do. You cannot force any dream on the Lord. Too much self-determination. People are going out to go and dream dreams because, talk about testimonies. Somebody comes to testify to you that time I was just 25 that time. I made up my mind that by the time I'm 30, I will do this. Then by the time I'm 35, my company will be like this. We'll do that. So I wrote everything down. I put it on my wall. You have done that. What you have gotten is frustration. You got a lot of anxiety. Because you too, you are 24. You wrote it down. But by the time you are 30, this will happen. At the age of 29, see, you didn't even look like you were going in the direction of anything happening. Where's Dami? Oh, Dami told the story of one brother that came and inspired them. They wrote things down, wrote it down. And this will happen to a woman that now wrote. Maybe she'll marry at 25, have the first child at 26, second one at 27, the third one, and then, like that. And then she'll stop at number 4, and then she'll do the PhD program. At 30, no man has even proposed to her. That is like, nobody was even pursuing her to say, you look like the will of God. No. And you know what caused it? The dream, I think. Yeah. You know, there are things that you will just... And such experiences are good, though, because you didn't do that to that young woman. She'll be confusing the next generation. And when something doesn't happen well for somebody the way you think well should mean, you'll be telling the parents that, you see, this is what happens when you don't ignite the power in your dreams. That's it. You know, you'll not be raising shoulders like you know. God say, I will beat those shoulders down. I will humble you very well. Brethren, there's too much self-determination. And I can assure you, the Lord doesn't like it. Motivational preaching has crept into our gospel. The gospel of God does not make sense to the average person. Look, what God calls the simplicity of the gospel, just saying to somebody, all right, that Jesus died for you. Jesus will prosper you. He will help you. He has blessed you in Christ. The way it will manifest, you know, I said something the other day, let me just emphasize that again. Yeah, it was last time. Now, the Bible says the word of God is what? Alive and active. Please, let me explain what that thing means again. It means the word of God is not just a set of instructions. It has to be printed or written on a physical material, scrolls or paper. But that's not what the word of God is. The word of God is alive. That's why Jesus, now, and like this morning I'm talking now, okay? And now if you've listened to the gospel enough, you know. Was it Elder John that was telling us yesterday that there was a church, there's a man that he worked for at the time, they went to the same church. One day the pastor came to church and preached, and the man left there angry. Why? He thought somebody had gone to report his whole life to the pastor. So the man used him to preach the whole day. There was only one problem. The man was not aware of him. Nobody reported him. The man was just preaching his message. And the man stubbornly left the church and never came back. And I said, he had just committed the sin unto death. Maybe God will send another prophet, but if he used that attitude, he will soon be judged. What caused the confusion? Because the word was so accurate about him. Now, if you're going to ask that preacher now, or this one I know as a matter of fact, the preacher may be wondering that, did I even speak in that direction? Not whether they reported him or did not report him. You'll be surprised that the next person didn't hear anything like that. Once when we were in school, they had a special meeting I attended, okay, even though I really didn't. Well, anyway, I attended the meeting. Let's make a long story short. So there was one lady, I still remember her very well, my classmate was sitting beside me. maybe not beside me, but close to where I was, where, so I could hear what she was saying. And I still remember the brother who was preaching in front. He was our senior. You know those kind of gym brothers on campuses. So our guys organized what they now call CMD, all right? Christian, then we used to call it NCCMDS. That's Medical Students, the Christian Medical Student Association. So we organized this program. So I attended out of solidarity, even though, like I said earlier, I didn't really belong for certain reasons. But this lady was my classmate. She was not one of us in all these Pentecostal gym circles. All right? Actually, she was a devout Catholic. So she was sitting somewhere not too far from me. And this gym brother was preaching. And he kept on speaking and speaking. And next thing I heard, this lady couldn't help herself. She said, "I hope you're not talking about me." Yeah, she spoke up. I felt like telling her, "Will you be silent? This man is preaching." And that man, oh, anointed man. He said, "Does he appear like I am? Then you should act upon it." That's how he answered her. He said, "Does he appear?" Of course, he didn't know her. I feel fairly certain he didn't know her at all. His words were so accurate about this young woman. Accurate. She spoke up. Wise guy, the guy just said that, "Does he appear like I'm talking to you? Then you should act upon it." Now, that's how the word of God works. That's how it works. The word is so alive. Forget that it's on paper. Sometimes you have to read it. Forget that you have to hear from speakers or directly from my mouth I'm speaking now. Or you from a device. Somebody's playing from speakers, the tiny speakers, earphones you have. They are letters. Jesus warned us that the letters don't mean anything. It causes the flesh. They are sound. You see, there is a spirit they carry. That's what matters. You know what I'm talking about it, all right? The Lord being so personal, being so unique in each person's life, the word will come forth. It's called the Spirit. It will break on each person as tongues. Do you get my point? So the tongue that drops on you is different from the tongue that drops on you, which means, listen, what you hear will be different from what you hear, different from what you hear. So let's talk about prosperity as an example. That word came forth to Demon Shakarian's father. He has struggled. I think his father had died. And they had a culture from Armenia. The women didn't work. His mother tried to go and work and help the family. His father packed out of the house as a little boy, maybe like 17, 18, thereabout. That as if the mother was telling him he was not capable. The mother had to resign the little job she just got as a cleaner or wash person somewhere for this little boy to take care of a large family. He worked himself to almost to death. Then one day, out of frustration, he crawled to the elders of the church. "I'm having financial trouble." They began to pray. They believed in the Holy Spirit. But they had a funny way of doing things. They opened the Bible. Bam! Anywhere it drops is what the Lord is saying. And it worked for them. And somebody said, "Blessed shall you be in the field." He said, "Thus says the Lord, your place of prosperity is on the field." So he left that place and went into agriculture. He abandoned all the construction, all the jobs he used to take. He says, agriculture. So he noticed that they didn't get fresh vegetables around. Please read the story. I'm not making it up. Of course, you know I wouldn't do that. It's in the book, Happiest People on Earth. So the man went to the rural areas. Early morning, he would rise up and go and bring fresh vegetables and deliver them from house to house. And he began to prosper. Then along the line, he realized that, no, they don't have fresh milk. Instead of vegetables now alone, he added milk. Then later on, he started his own dairy farm and became so successful. Do you understand what I'm saying? Demons said at the time, they tested some of their cattle and had tuberculosis. A preacher said, "The cattle on the thousand hill belongs to God." They called the preacher, "Do you believe what you have said?" He said, the man said, "Yes." "Please, sir, can you come?" The man came. He raised his hand, went to all the enclosures and prayed against tuberculosis. They came to test them the following day. Tuberculosis had gone. The Lord really blessed him on the field. He took over the business from his father and they became very successful And then the Lord called him into the ministry of helps that he was doing now. Why am I talking about it? The word spoke to him, a cloven tongue. It's a word of prosperity. It landed on him, told him what to go and do. Many of us want to go and listen to Demon Shakiran on vegetable farming and cattle farming. And then we leave the place, we are poor. We are frustrated. Because the tongue that was going to cleave and land on your head was going to say something different. Ministry is the same thing. Everybody wants to run. See, when I left school, when it comes to ministry, I wanted to start a church called Jesus Assembly. That was my plan. I drew where it would be located. I had drawn the model for the building that we built. Very foolish model now, because I look at it. It was, yeah, because what happened was that Faith Dome was built somewhere in the U.S. by Casey Price. So I took his Faith Dome, turned it upside down, put legs on it, under it, covered it. I sketched it too. Where people coming through, how they will climb the... I didn't know who gave me the idea. I was not an architect. I even changed my name a bit to sound like Rayhon Bunky. I won't tell you that you won't mistakenly call me after and I'll bite you. Yeah, no, all of on campus, no, we're born in that guy. You know, I like that name, Reinhard Bonnke. So I said, Bonnke sounds like Banky. So I had to find a way to modify my other names to come before Banky. I told that the Lord cannot be depressed. The angels can't be depressed, even if they wanted to be. All they need to do is watch, and we'll just keep laughing. They will be making them laugh. The Lord's plan was different. It was during my NYC I began to have a new direction. And as the Lord made it clear, you are going to start a teaching ministry. Just be teaching people. Just be teaching. And that's what I did till today. I do till today. Cloven tongues. Each person hearing something different. So I've been saying it. So when the word comes, you will hear something different. When the word comes, you will hear something different. And to be very personal to you, what should you do meanwhile? You know, I was going through my device, my notes, you know, where I just write things down. And I preached something some time ago, and it came to my mind to just, I don't know when, could have been last year or this year, but this time when I wrote the thing down, and I've not deleted that note. Because what am I supposed to do meanwhile? If I will not follow self-determination. Self-determination does not help. It may look like a nice thing, but really, a lot of times we are fighting against divine plan. We are fighting against divine order. We are fighting against the method by which God will take us somewhere. Saw a video yesterday. Beautiful, in fact. I shared with my whole family, everybody laughed. About the broad road and the narrow road. See one big road, everybody was going there. Devil was helping them along. There's a set of people who were running on the small one. They were marching on this narrow road. When Satan saw them, he quickly went and built a bridge to cross from the narrow one to the broad one. They now picked a speaker and started shouting. You can still get to where God wants you to get to, but you'll be happy. You follow the lust of your flesh and everything, but you are still saved. Things like that. There were 5 people going on that narrow road. Then 4 of them froze. The guy in front was still going. Then they turned like zombie. Heard what the devil was saying. He decided to follow. That guy turned around, grabbed the first person and slapped him hard on the head. So only 2 of them continued. The other 3 crossed the plank, crossed the bridge, and went to join the broad road. Let me quickly say this. The narrow road. Okay, you know what the Bible says? How do you say it again? Which one is narrow? There's one is straight, one is narrow. The gate and the road. There are 2 of them. Okay, let's just open our Bibles quickly. Okay, just open. Okay. Matthew 7, verse 13. He said, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad. That's it. The road is broad, the gate is wide. That leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. But the gate is small. Now, that's it. And the way is narrow that leads to life. The gate is small and the road is narrow that leads to life. Please, let me read that in the New Living Translation. It will save me from having to explain this thing by myself. It already explained it. He said, but the gateway to life is very narrow and the road is difficult. That's what I was looking for. The road is what? Difficult. That's what I was looking for. He said that road is what? Difficult. That's what actually the Greek implies. The difficulty in it. Oswald Chambers said, beware of any message that tries to soften the tough demands of Christ Jesus. Yes. See, there's a series of messages we are airing now. Please follow us. 15 things that believing in Christ Jesus does for you. You can follow us on podcast, Pastor Banking 10. One of the things I said, number three, is that what the Lord does will give you a spirit that can obey. That Jesus will give tough commands, and when we hear them, we start trying to make sense out of them. Because really, they are very difficult. I said, when you have given your life to Christ, it still remains difficult, but it's now possible. Do you get my point? And then what he does is supply grace. So what the Lord does is to give you grace to obey that which is actually difficult. The road, all right, for your life, it's not really an easy road. A lot of thing we are preaching now is as if it's easy. No, it's not. It's just possible. That's why he says you run your race with endurance, with perseverance. What Christianity does is to make obeying God possible. It doesn't make it sweet and easy. God makes it possible. To do that which pleases God can be hard, but it's possible. It can be unpleasant, but it's very doable. Only those who have determined, and that's why I'm talking about picking up your cross, that all I'm living for is to please the Lord, then his plan for my life will be manifested. They are the ones that make it. Those who give God yardstick to measure success, who determine what he must do at certain times, they always backslide. Because God won't do it. See, he just will not do it. That's why I keep on emphasizing to people. Let me say clearly. Stop sowing seeds for things. What did I say?
Stop sowing seeds
for things. Stop. Please, I forbid you. Stop. I want to build a house. I go and sow a bag of cement. A ton of cement to a church building. It's foolishness. You package an offering and give to a man of God so that one grace can come upon you. It's madness. That's the spirit of Simon, the sorcerer. You see an orphan, you help the orphan because you want God to take care of your children. All of them will fall sick. I'm telling you. You see a picture. Baby Yukachuku needs 5 million naira for surgery. And you are planning to have babies. You're pregnant now. You quickly drop 50,000 naira towards the 5 million so that your own children will not need surgery. Don't let God slap you and remove all the other money you have. This self-confidence in the seed you have sown is part of the problem you have had now. It's a very unfortunate doctrine that has permitted the body of Christ. I don't know when people will stop it. That's why I speak against it straight now. Stop that nonsense. It's a bunch of rubbish preaching. We do it all the time. I don't know why we still do it. It's an insulting arrangement to the Lord. You turn him into something that he is not. You think he likes it? He doesn't. The Father himself loves you. That's what Jesus said. You know why I said you stop sowing seeds? Like that? Because they won't produce first. Fact, they won't produce. You see, they're not going to produce. And then you get discouraged. And then you turn back. And when you turn back, his soul will have no pleasure in you. You know why he won't produce? He didn't promise it would. And the truth is that you don't even know which seed produces what. You know, I keep on saying that. You don't know which seed produces what. And if you're going to read what the Bible gives us, what he told us, he said, he that honors me, I will do what? Honor. So, we know honor produces honor. But what is honor? What is the other honor? I don't know whether you're getting my point. He that shows mercy shall do what? Good. So, what is mercy? What is the other mercy? Because you are sowing seed for a house. God said, this seed is going to save you from truck that was planning to kill you tomorrow. You think it is house. It's what? Mercy. And then the mercy that counts usually is not even like mercy in the person. The person is not showing it. It's just showing mercy. I don't know whether I get my point. It's not showing it. It's just like the man who's passing. You see somebody on the road. The Samaritan story. When the Samaritan did what he did, you think he was trying to sow a seed? No. What did he just do? He was just merciful. Now listen, you're either merciful or you are not as a person. It's not one act. Like somebody said, we are not human doings. We are what? Human beings. You be. Either you are a merciful person or you are not. So those who actually sow seeds of mercy for the purpose of receiving mercy are not merciful. They are seed sowers. They are seed sowers. A truly merciful person probably was not even thinking about you. And you come say, I want to thank you for the mercy you showed last year. And you are smiling. And you are smiling. And he goes away. And you're like, so what mercy did he show? You can't remember. I tell you something that happened. I went to pray for one of my friends once. We're not talking about when the church first started. That at the time, I did this one. I sent him this. I did like this. So his wife was sitting beside me, you know. He had gone out, he was speaking, he was going to introduce me. So I turned to his wife, I said, I think your husband is making a mistake. She said, no, it really happened. So I think at that point in time, he looked in our direction. And guess what we're talking about? And he laughed, he said, see, he can't even remember. He now said, that is how it is with those who do good. I don't know whether I get my point. Yeah, is that comment he passed? Because really, he said, then this one happened, then this one. Do you know? I was like, no. I just turned to the wife. I think your husband is mixing me with somebody else. So that's why she laughed. She said, it's not true. I was there. When this one happened, I was present. Do you know? I was knocked out. It was when I got home, I was telling my wife. She said she remembers one. Ah. It was the way he reacted. He laughed. He said, see, he can't even remember. That comment now passed. I heard Wale Oke say that thing around 1992, 93. He said, those who do the things that count, don't stop to count them. I'll never forget that statement. He said, those that do the things that count, don't stop to count them. So all these ones we are counting, they don't count. So that's why I said, stop this seed thing. You won't even know the one that counts. Because I have spiritual insight. One day we went to my wife's village. Now my father-in-law is a Papa Knight. You know what they call a Papa Knight? You know, there are different kinds of knights, all right? Bishops around, sometimes they make knights. There are some that literally the Pope has to sign to make you a knight. So there are few in the Catholic Church. That's what they call a Papa Knight. If you remember during my wife's birthday, when they introduced him, they said, no, they don't use the word sir. They use the name Chevalier. It's the one they don't use sir. There's a special title. All right? It's a papa night. Okay? It wasn't that time, but it's the story I want to tell. So, he did a lot of course, a very devout person, so as a Catholic. So one day went to the village, their place. I've forgotten which of the things we went for. Was it the church time or one of those things? Yeah. Of course, being such an important person is in the Catholic Church and all of that. So you come the day of the ceremony, you see, the bishop there, priest and all of that, they are priests he trained. Okay, yeah. So I turned to my wife, notice something. And I know he probably thinks so. This one is for God. You see, spend money, all right? Plenty of it for God, right? That they're not to my wife. I said, see all of these things, yes. I said, let me tell you some things that God is counting, he's not counting. It's a very big compound, it's a house. It's a very, very big compound. I said, did you notice something, sweetheart? He said, what? I said, the gate is not locked. There's no gate pass. There's no who can come, who can't come. Every person, sorry about this, including lunatics, walked in. With their dirty, nobody stops you. She, it's food you want to eat. You just go over there, somebody serves you, you will sit down there, just don't cause trouble. If you cause trouble, vigilantes in the village will burn you out. Police will burn you out. Just don't cause trouble. What if it is food? Don't worry. Nobody was stopped at the gate. No, when I say nobody, there was no gate pass. There's no who are you looking for. Whether you dress rich or dress poor, you walked in, you went under the canopy, you collected the food you wanted to eat. Of course, you have reserved area for his personal friends and some people, the big priest and all of that. Can maybe go into the main building. I told my wife, I said, you know I know spiritual things. I said, that's what God is rewarding. Say, this one you are doing, the God I know, you are counting it. See, this one you are not counting. If he were to come, this is how he will come. Yes. I said, if he's coming, I said, this is how he's going to come. And what is he checking? Did they serve me or they said my clothes are dirty? So many, see, that's what my wife said. I said, because I have understanding, I can tell you. You could have done all of that, close the gate, and if check who are you? Who are you looking for? Who are you? I better go. Then you turn Jesus back. Meanwhile, you built a house for him. You will turn him back. Meanwhile, all he came to ask for was one plate of starch, owo soup, and fish with a bottle of lager. And you denied him. And he will go away. And leave it to be party, you know. And put two angels to supervise. Let there be no trouble. Help them. All the sacrifice is nothing. And he just walks away. That's why I said, stop sowing seed. You know I've said it? Yeah. Just learn to be a good person. Now, back to what we were saying earlier. I need to get back there. Well, I keep on saying this thing, all right, again and again. If somebody comes, a business person, it comes to teach. Like the other day, Costaris was here teaching. We organized business by the Spirit here and all of that. Please, nobody is teaching you methods on how to hammer. All you are supposed to learn is what? Righteousness. What is right to do? Please, every day in life, go out learning what is right to do. No, Costaris told a story. That's Cosmas Madoka told a story, which is a beautiful story. I need to tell it again. He didn't tell you last time he came here. He didn't even talk about it, all right? Okay, the session I attended, there were two or three sessions. I attended only one because I had another meeting the following day when he came to complete his teaching. But this happened when he had that problem with, let me not put the name, but you know who I'm talking about. According to, and you have to be very careful. He said the guy played the race card, the tribal card on him. If you remember the story, for those who followed it, he told the story of how the man came to him and, funny enough, the bankers warned him. They said, don't have anything to do with this man. All the bankers warned him that don't have anything to do with this man. They all knew him. He confessed that he played the tribal card on him. that you see, because he's from this side of the country, those boys in Lagos, they don't want somebody like him. You know, he's an able man. They don't want him to make it, so that they are conspiring against him. He confessed that I fell for it. They just played that card on me. And they happen to be from the same part of Anambra State. So he guaranteed a loan of, who can remember how much? Like, is it $80 million? Yeah, it was a lot of money. It was a huge amount of money. So he said the first time the business worked, they iterated that thing a number of times. Okay, maybe like 3-4 times. So the man walked up to him one day, said, he knows that government is about to remove subsidy and this and that and that. That they didn't just do a large one. They were doing refined products, importing. So he said, I fell for it, not knowing that the man set him up deliberately. I've seen it, they've done it to my wife before. A dishonest person will do business with you 4-5 times and deal honestly. They are setting you up for the 6th one. Exactly what the man did to him. They do it a lot. I mean, they used to defraud people. They used to defraud people. I heard it, somebody that did like that too, selling things. The man had become a good customer. Then one day he came, bought a lot, was about to pay. Eh? I didn't bring my checkbook. Oh, this man, do I lose it? He said, don't worry, I will transfer the money. You know, like, it was before the days of transfer, the easy transfer like that. No, I'll just send, next time I come, I'll just bring it, you know. That one didn't want to lose such a good customer. And let the man go. But that was the deal. Never saw him again. They do it. So this man, this experienced man fell for it. But this is the story. This time around, the money he was now on the hook for was, I think, $280 million. He said the next thing that the man didn't show up again. The man collected that $280 million there, but I'm not sure. You can check the exact sum. Something under $300 million. And the man disappeared. Then story started. That was when he went everywhere, shouting. Many of us, he shouted the man's name from the top to the bottom. Now, let me not sit on that there. I won't gist. Let me now tell you the main story. All right. Now you remember the gist. But there was one small way he could get away. Out of trust, because the bankers just looked at him. His customer's Maduka now. So, just by mouth. So everything was being done informally. He said that if he goes to Germany, tells BMW, ship this number of cars. They don't ask him questions, they ship it. He has that. That's why, you know, he preaches about integrity. There's a capital that you shouldn't lose. He said now, if he go, that BMW doesn't need anything from him. They just need him to say, okay, send me 20 7 Series BMW. Once they hear from him, they are shipping it. They are not asking questions. Anything he asks for Ford, he doesn't have to borrow money to do some businesses. Look, if you maybe you give him an LPO to supply this number of vehicles to you, he doesn't have to go to any bank. He calls the company, send me 500 of those vehicles. Once it's the one, they will put it on the ship, roll it down to Nigeria. Is it not customers? He will pay us. And he always pays. But this time around, $280 million was on the line. He had not signed papers. Some document he had not signed to show that he was a guarantor. So somebody now, and listen, I've told you, the people will come and say, Satan is up to something because they lost money. If Satan is up to something, their plan did not work. I told you before, Satan is up to something when your temptation heightens. Because somebody walked up to him and said, Oga, there's no problem. It's a bank. Just don't sign the documents. Let them go and pursue him for their money. That was when Satan was up to something. You hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
That was when Satan was up to something. Listen, my wife, listen. Very important. When you are doing whatever you are doing, know when Satan is on your matter. The other day, my wife was doing exams for her students, WAEC exams. Suddenly, she got a message in the morning. Good morning, ma. Please have your children practice this for the exam. She called the person. What is it? Is it expo? He said, no, just last minute practice. It's not experiment. We don't give it. The guy, my wife looked, called her son, Akinluke, and said, Mommy, I think it's expo. Called the guy. The guy said, I will send the rest later. The guy said, my wife said, if it's expo, thank you very much. I'm not interested. My children have not trained like that. She deleted the message, deleted everything. I believe me. Make it long story short, it was expo. And it was the test from the Lord. Because one of our staff has said that this is your children said. They don't even look left or right when they're writing the exam. My wife said, that's how I trained them. So that one, she just said, no, please, thank you very much. It was English exam and they were writing it that day. She didn't send it to the children. They were there reading, getting ready. Except that the examiner did not show up. They waited and waited and waited, finally came up late. That day when I was driving home, I remember, I was seeing puppies going home around 7, 8 at night. Apparently, WAEC found out that the paper had leaked. So they canceled it nationwide that morning. And they began to reset. So everybody had to wait because they had to set, send it out, print, bind, and do all of that. So all the examiners were now waiting, delayed by many hours. So they were getting to exam starting by 2. Exam starting by 9. They were starting by 2. Okay, 5 p.m. Oh. So, of course, they found out that morning. So all the logistics, they started getting to the exam place in the evening. I even thought it was 2 o'clock. My wife said, if it was a test, I passed this one. Because at the end of the day, you will have gotten nothing. You'll have gotten nothing. So all those who got it and practiced, at the end of the day, God just shamed all of them. But our own children were not, they didn't even know anything was happening. They were just wondering, why the delay? So they had more time to read. They just were just there waiting. Well, later on, the gist was now, this was what happened though. When Satan is up to something, it's not when they take your money. It's when you are tempted to do what is wrong. Because Charlie said they came to him, Cosmos Maduka, and said, don't sign the papers. And then you don't have to worry about 280 million. Let the bank go and follow their own problems. He said, but I gave them my word. So he sat, $280 million. In fact, when they were asking him, do you think of writing it off? He said, Dangote has more money than me. Can he write up $280 million? In fact, the way he said that day, he said, even on $10, can he write up $280? He just mentioned some of this top guy. He said, $280 million is not money. You just wake up in the morning and say that I'm writing off like that. So, he said he was praying. The papers were with him. He was praying. I'm praying. Finally, he took his pen. Listen, money is already missing. The man is already missing. Once he signs that paper, he has to cough up $280 million. Suddenly, he signed the documents and had them shipped out. I started shouting, I won! I won! I won! His wife came, what happened? He said, I won! I won! I won! I won! I made it! I won! He was like, what happened? I signed the documents. Oh, that is what this noise is about? He said, yes, it was a temptation. I passed. He said, it was a temptation. And I passed. They didn't recover the money. So, other stories, see him online, shouting this man's name, shouting. It was after he had committed. Now, he was now personally responsible. So, he had to cough up $280 million. So, he said, look, if you like enter a hole, I can enter holes. That's when he decided he went on into the news, made a lot of noise, tell him to give me my money. So he now personally, because the banks didn't bother anymore. Especially since we warned you. No, they warned him. They told him, don't do business with this man. So the banks were not bothered. Well, you pay us our money, then you can go and pursue your townsman, Abi, and go and pursue him now. Collect your money back. What I'm telling the story is that he won. So when you go to listen to people like him, don't just learn how he trades. That's not the important thing. Learn how he got to a point where BMW does not need bank guarantee to send him goods. Where Ford can send him goods just because he made a call. Ask yourself what happened. He has Chinese partners who are at rest as long as it is customers that asked. And listen, you will never get such a name until you have passed certain tests. Don't think that, you know, I don't owe money because, you know, God always gives you extra excess to pay. A time will come where you have to sell your house to pay. That is when you are being tested. The one you are paying when there's no problem. You never, you have not even been tested yet. It's a man I met once, he told me. In fact, two of them, two different men, met them in Lagos. Very well-to-do guys. One of them told me, went to his house to eat. I went to preach in one particular church. Afterwards, he said I should come and eat in one of their elders' house. So I went to his home. He'll be describing things for you. All this bridgefront property from here to here. It was mine now. Let me get them before. It was my own. You know, when there's only people like Obina, Dewoke, you know, all these men that I have around me, they would have never seen $2 million. Or have you seen? And you didn't tell me. Yeah, not yet. Let me know when you see it. Okay? So there's a way you reason. But now you sit amongst people who are telling stories. One woman came to me that, this was long ago, not today, not long ago. I finished preaching. The same church. It was when I told her I finished preaching. One woman came. Please, what should she do? That she, where her husband is going, that they are owing 3 billion naira. Now, listen. It's like somebody coming to you today saying that he borrowed like 20 billion naira from a bank. And she's standing. I mean, like, she's not on the ground. She's not like, she's. You know, I'm looking at the woman like this, madam. So, and she was saying, what should she do? Her husband, the way the man is doing now, the other day had a meeting with the bankers. I'm looking at this woman, like, do you know where I came from? Do you know what I do? Apart from preaching, I earn a salary. And they don't calculate it in billions, not even in millions. If I say 3 billion now, you understand? That time is equivalent of like 20 billion today. I was looking at this woman. Why will you owe that kind of money? No, see, the kind of thing they did, she and her husband, there's a rig, an oil rig they imported. Now, yeah, that's the kind of business this guy is talking about. The man I tell her, I went to his house to go and eat after preaching. We're not telling stories. That's why I'm telling the story. But it was telling stories about those days when things were rough in the country. He had beachfront property between here and there. He owned a merchant bank. Now listen to what he said. He said, I bear the name of the Lord everywhere I go. I can't bring shame to his name. When the banking sector collapsed, he said, I swore to God I will repay all my depositors. That's where I'm going. So you see stretches of land. Choice beachfront property. So I sold it. Houses in Ikoyi, I told them, sell it. They were selling it. Now listen to what he said. He said, the name of God must not be put to shame. He said, they trusted me with their money. I have to give it back to them. His children were going to school abroad. He said, my son was going for exam. He had not paid fees. It was that bad. He was repaying people huge deposits. He couldn't pay children's school fees anymore. So I told his son, God will come through. Don't worry. He stripped himself bare. He said, the name of God must not be brought to shame. Exactly what the other man told me. He said, I don't default on my loans. He said, there was a time I borrowed money from a finance house to pay a bank, which was digging into a deeper hole. Yeah. What was his reason? He said, I can't default. He said, it must never go on record. I owe people and I don't pay them. He said, because he's a big businessman. He said, I was selling things. I sold this. I sold that. He said, what was the reason? He said, how will it go on record? I'm owing somebody and I did not pay. So this integrity we are talking about, it's not cheap. It's not cheap. I told the story of one of our brothers here. His boss was owing all the staff, and he was buying a Rolex for his wife. And opening his mouth to talk nonsense like, hey, this money didn't come from that business we did, though. Do I care? It doesn't come cheap. It doesn't come cheap. And you don't have to go and blackmail somebody. Like that one was telling that Ifan Ima, remember, he was telling customers that time that we didn't say his full name. There are many if you're Ifan here, put up your hand. Ifan, where's our regular Ifan? The photographer. Uh-huh. You know, so the Ifan is not so. Are you the one that collected $280 million? You're sure you're not the one? You just let us assume it's you so that they won't say I'm talking about somebody else, okay? $280 million. Another Ifan, where is he? Aha, see Ifan there. Another Ifan. Where's my other Ifan? All right? So if I'm suspecting the other guy that took $280 million, he looks that rich. But he came to this, you know, that guy was the point. I came to him and said, if I can't pay you, I will kill myself. Say, what do I want to do with your dead body? You are owing me money. You say if you can't pay, you will kill yourself. So I will not sell the corpse. I'm going to don't threaten anybody. Say, okay, don't worry. If I can't owe you by tomorrow, I will sell my house. Once you are telling me, you are trying to play on my emotions. If you want to sell the house, go and sell it. Let me find out 10 years later. Then let me respect you for it. What? You mean you pay that money by selling your... Hey, why didn't you tell me now? Your own... No. I promise you guys, I will repay that money that week. The week was coming to an end. I didn't see money coming from anywhere. Don't worry. God will build me another one. Mary Kay went to church. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we found out later. Well, at that time, the thought just dropped in her mind. Offer to double any amount of money they give. She was trying to encourage church people to give money. And normally they raise like 1,000, 2,000. On very good days, maybe 5. So that day she spoke and spoke. Said what came to her mind that morning was offer to double whatever they will give today. Is that right? Whatever you guys give today, I will double it. Give it in her mind, with that kind of inspiration, they will give. $10,000. That was the thoughts in her mind. I'm watching my time, so let me be quick with the story, which you already heard before, or read in her book, Miracles Happen. The church elders, I forgot to mention. She told them, it's next day you pay, latest. It's not pledge, pastor will be calling you after 1 month. No, he said, I don't do that. She actually said cash. The pastor had to beg her that the people were already in church, so they may have to go back home. He said, okay, next morning, latest. So Monday morning, latest is the money you can give me. That's what I'm asking for. Which meant she had to double the money Monday morning also. She expected to hear from them the total pledges taken that day. She didn't hear anything. She went to sleep. This was not called. She said, this money must be big. Maybe it's up to $10,000. They call her in the morning. First statement they made, that was the head deacon. We didn't call you last night. We're having a meeting. She said, this money must be big. Maybe $20,000. So we just want you to know that the elders have come together and freed you from the pledge you made. And they had the right to do it. Spiritually, it will have stood. So we free you from that pledge. She said, I made the pledge before the people. I intend to keep it. How much is the money? They said $106,000. Ouch. Somebody who had planned for $10,000 max. They knocked her off her feet with $106,000. She froze. The deacon said, remember I said, the church has come together and said you do not have to pay it. And she said, I made a promise before the people of God, I will stand by it. And that's the test. Many of us have been tested every day. See, when you make a pledge, by the time you say, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, it is the worst is one that will not happen. Some people say, no, that's why people are not saying, no, it's for better, for best, for richer, for richest. God say, you are a moron. I don't make vows on those terms. I don't make vows on those terms. The promise you made to God will be tested. That's the point we're making. When they tested her, she stood and said, no. She didn't have the money. We're talking about liquid earlier. She was not that liquid. She was that rich, but she was not that liquid. So she said, what will I do? I'll go to the bank and go and beg the bank manager. That he knows me. He knows I will pay. I said, Oga, deliver me. Wow, I need $100,000+. Now, in fact, I'm sure the bank manager was like, what? If you now open your mouth and say, I want to give it to church, in America like that, an average bank manager is not giving you. So he told herself, I'll call the bank manager. He knows me. He'll give me the money. People say, hey, you don't need to borrow to give to God. I say, you know my teaching in that area. You are correct as long as you don't borrow to give to yourself. So let's keep it on that level. You can't borrow to buy a car. Then when it's time to give, you say you can't borrow to give. You must be drunk. Whatever you can do for yourself, you can do for something. Just let's leave it like that. Can I borrow to give? I'll just ask myself. Banky, have you ever borrowed to buy something? There was a car. The car I had before. I paid for one whole year. An American doesn't think that's a big deal, but in Nigeria, that's a big deal. You pay for a car for one year. In Nigeria, it's a big deal. Normally, either you have money or you don't have. You borrow from a few of your friends, pay them back in a few. That's it. But that one, it was financed. One of our brothers, God bless him, he just saw me struggling and suffering. And I said, my people can help you buy a car. Can you deposit this amount of money? I tried. I deposited. They gave me the car. I had to be paying them every month for the next 12 months. But I paid back. So if tomorrow they want to do mission work somewhere, I can't say it is accepted. I can't take it. Because I will go back in areas and kill you inside that motor car. What nonsense are you telling me here? You paid for a whole year to drive a car. Then when it's mission work, now you're saying it's accepted. I cannot according to that. Oh boy, you have. And listen, go to the bank, borrow that money. In fact, how much was the money you were going to give up? 5 million. Now make it 15. Lord, sell this car you are driving currently. And I've seen people do that before. It's mission work. He said, look, I can manage. They sell the car, send it to the people in the mission field. One man went, German, from Ghana, went to Ghana, saw what the local missionaries needed. He didn't have money. He went back, he sent a message back home. Sold the only car he had so they could buy motorcycles. His car was converted to numerous motorcycles. In fact, the reverend who was telling me the story, if you tell him that a Christian should not smoke, he'll tell you to get away. You know his reason? Those who are not smoking didn't give me anything. This man smokes. The guy who was smoking, you know, he was looking like, oh boy, you the feg. In second, we used to call it fegging, right? See, this guy, the feg. But meanwhile, he sold the only car he had. So his own is that, all you non-smokers, you are going to go to hellfire before this man that smokes. The Lord is good. Now, where I'm going with the story, Mary Kay just sat down there and decided she will borrow the money to pay up. God said, good, you passed my test. 1 hour later, her son called. Mommy, God has given, now I'm paraphrasing now, God has given you $100,000 every month, almost in perpetuity. Being reported an hour after this happened, to me, is not coincidence. It was God giving us a lesson. But in everything, we learn lessons. In everything we do what? We learn lessons. I told the story of Cosmos Maduka. What we learned is, look at how he got his integrity. He was tested. And listen, you keep on getting tested periodically. $280 million. Yes, he was a rich man. But he said, I can't write that kind of money off. He said, can Dangote write it off? He said, he has much more money than I do. $40 won't write this off. But he put his neck on the line for it. That's the cost of integrity. So when you go there, that's what you go to learn. That's what I'm saying. To hear a businessman, once he can't tell you those stories, get up and leave the place. You're wasting your time. We go to learn righteousness. I keep on saying, you learn right. You know why? Because God, who's giving you light, he said, no one lights a lamp and puts it what? Under a bushel or basket, but on a lampstand. What does that tell you? It's who lights the light that creates the lampstand. You get what I'm saying? The God that's teaching you his word, that teaching you righteousness, is the one that will give you a place where you will shine with it. It's not you that will build it by yourself. What are you supposed to do? That's the point I'm making. I told you, it's something I wrote down. Yeah, okay. Let me just rush through it and then we're out of here. I saw where I wrote this down some time ago, talking about how to fulfill your destiny. How to fulfill your destiny. So there may be a message in which I preached this, but I think maybe last year or the year before, I can't remember exactly where. I just saw the note somewhere and it looked like, you know, there are things you see, say, now me write this one. He said, no, be me, now the Holy Spirit. So instead of pursuing your own self-determination, pursuing what you have written by yourself. We've not read our, have we read our Bible today? Let us read. It's Bible now. Is it not the Bible now? Precious, it's Bible now. It's the scriptures now. Okay, so let me just continue to preach. I wanted to just, for righteousness sake, read something, but now that we have read one, let's leave it. So I gave a few points. Let me just rush through them. Number one. Now, this is the thing. Remember we said, God will light your light. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He will put you on the lampstand. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Let me repeat this. I've already explained that the cloven tongues, it means as the word of God comes forth, the word of God being alive, we speak to you individually. What he will say to you is different from what he's saying to you. You may even appear to be under the same circumstances, but he will say something different for you to do and something different for you. And you will hear it clearly. That's the funny thing. You will hear it clearly. Two of you may even be having arguments on who I was talking to or who the preacher was talking to. If you ever exchange notes. So at that point, that was not what he said. That was what you heard. Very scriptural, very true. And two of you are listening at the same time. If I remember, I told this story that when I was a Kingdom War went on radio, those with the Way of Success on Cosmo FM. It was the message I was listening to. What I heard was time to go on radio. Till today, I can't remember what the man said. But that was what I heard. I left that place before the end of the week. We had negotiated a deal, or maximum the following week. Negotiated a deal with Cosmo FM. And the first day we went on air, I don't know whether I can say this myself or not, but we shook the city. How do I know? One young man heard me once. He jumped into the vehicle, ran to Enugu the next day to look for me. First day. It was when he got to Enugu, he realized I didn't know where he was going. So he went to the radio station and said, please, I'm looking for that preacher. Of course, he doesn't work in this station. Which church? And there was not a church. So they now said, okay, they think he attends so and so church. So he went there. They said, no, he doesn't work here. He's not a pastor here. He attends this church. That's like up and down. And all of this was raining. They finally found me. So I think somebody now called me and this and that. I was wrong. First day. One guy came from somewhere, I think, in Benue State. Or Kogi, somewhere in that area. You know, that station used to go far. What is it? He said, nothing, that I should do with him whatever I like. Like, were you there that time? Yes. Like what? You don't understand that. I have come. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Oga, you decide. This man dispatched him back to his house because I didn't know what to do with people like that. But what I'm talking about telling the story was somebody was preaching. I was waiting for my wife. She was in a meeting, a church meeting. So I was in the car just waiting. And typical of me, That's what I use my electronic devices for a lot of time. I just put a tape in. Those it was cassette tapes. I just put it inside and recline inside the car. And as soon as that message was over, I knew that, oh yeah, radio station. I went to radio station that week. We negotiated the deal. What about the money to pay? Kingdom World now can pay for radio stations. Then, 90% of the offering that Kingdom World had came from these two people. When I say 90%, 90. We paid rent. In fact, there was a time we needed to buy a new computer. I needed a computer that I was using for the work. I had the money. I told myself, Banky, how long will you be the one to buy equipment for Kingdom World? So I took the money. Is it not funny? I gave it as an offering to Kingdom World. We recorded in the offering book. Then took it back to go and buy the computer. I said, let it go on record that Kingdom World bought the computer. Meanwhile, the truth is that I was the one that gave the money. It was like that those days. So where would the money come from? I went to the station, we negotiated. I gave them the deal. I said, I'll come and pay them. Then, it's a long story. The way God arranged my life. I was teaching that time. There was one of my senior colleagues who said he needed help desperately. I told him that Newe was too far. I couldn't drive there. Anyway, he used, you know, Agba, you know what they use age to, sorry, I don't mean the negative way, but to oppress me. That, okay, while you are thinking about it, be coming first. You know that kind of attitude? I thought, sorry, I can't tell you. Very embarrassing if I mention how much it was. Which was why I told him, I can't be driving this distance for this amount of money. It could equally fuel my car, sir. I told him, I just can hardly fuel my motor. I'd done that for 10 months when they paid me for the first time. So that tiny money for 10 months. So I told my wife, money is coming. So my wife's like, ah, that's not bad money. At least I can buy something. So she was dancing, waiting for money. I said, okay, they are going to pay that money. And they now paid it. 10 months of work. 10. I remember very well. 10 months. So, driving from here to Newe. But twice, every other week or so, I had to be driving. And the car I was using was 6 cylinders, 300E. Yeah. So that day, when I say, how will I pay the radio station? I remember that money. That's where I'm going with the whole story. I took 3/4 of it. That was what the radio station needed. I gave it to them. Okay, no, that day my wife was in the kitchen. She was doing something. I said, sweetheart. She said, yeah. I said, that money. She said, what about it? I said, the Lord has need of it. She said, okay. That was the only response. Said, okay. So that's how I took the money, gave to the radio station. Paid them. First time. That's the last time till today. Now we pay like 23 radio stations. It's the last time I've given a dime in that direction. The last time. The next time we came to pay, the person in the radio station, he said, oh God, let me pay for one episode. Remove the money, I'll put it. By that time, of course, we kept till today. The last time I ever took my money from my pocket and said, take to pay somebody, radio station, Kingdom World. That was the first and the last time. The Lord could have provided money before then, but he chose not to. Let me see whether you believe in this thing. Apparently, I showed to him that not only I, but my wife believed in it. Because later she asked, what is it? I said, I want to give the money to the radio station. We gave most of it. The other one that remained, I think I gave her a small amount to buy ice cream. And I shared it, yeah, literally, between the pastor who preached that message and my dad. I shared it into two and sent it to them. That's how, down to the whole money. I'm not saying it to brag, but it was 10 months of that money. But the Lord collected everything complete. And it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't like, I wasn't suffering. I mean, I was living in a decent house. I was driving a car. I drove a car to the place. I wasn't hanging in a luxury bus attachment. No, I drove my own vehicle. So God was good. God was kind. I'm not making it look like I was suffering for the kingdom's sake. No. There was no suffering involved. Let's not romanticize it. What I'm just trying to say is that the word came. It said something to me. This man one day, this one here, sitting down, one of those Christmases, we were at home. We put on radio. We just stumbled on one radio station. I heard one guy talking. I said, that's not me, is it? That's my wife and I were looking like, of course, we knew it was not me. The man was talking and explaining something about, who be this guy? He preached. Said, no, he's not trying to disagree with anybody. He was just trying to explain. That, look at what the Bible says. I said, no. This guy listens to us. This is the guy here. He went to Nsukka and was terrorizing them with doctrine. it was a good thing with it. But what I'm going is that the word came. And the word says something. And I'm saying to you, the word, that's how it will lead you. Concerning your business, it will lead you like that. Concerning your ministry, it will lead you like that. Concerning the wife you will marry, that's how the Lord will lead you. Concerning the husband you will marry, that's how he will lead. Concerning which school your children will go to, that's how the word will speak. Because the word is alive. It's not a method. It's a living. You know, the problem is we have used, even because of our self-determination, we have taken even the word and converted it to method. The word is not method. The word is living. You know what it means to live? You will take your situation, think about it, arrange it. This is the plan of God. This is how you will use divine wisdom to enter God's plan into the solution of God. The word. And that comes forth as you're just reading. You're just listening. You're sitting down here. The word is being released to you. The problem we have a lot of times is that we don't pursue that word enough with that attitude. That's the problem. How to fulfill your destiny? Let me run through it. Number one, first of all, this is what you need to pursue in life. One, be a disciple, always learning. Because of time, I'm just going to rush through it. One, be a disciple, always learning. Always learning the truth. Be a disciple, always learning. Number two, consecrate yourself regularly. It's not something you do once in a while, do all the time. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Say to the Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. That in this my life, anything you want to do, say that to the Lord. There's this woman you love so much, like we said, you don't want to go and marry her. Before you go there, say, Father God, I want to go and ask Angela to marry me this morning. I like her very much. I really like to marry her. It's not a nice thing. The body won't want to say it to. As far as that, your body doesn't want to say such thing. Say, Lord, right now, I don't want to say what I'm about to say, but I will say it. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. No time to explain further on that. On anything. You made up your mind, you want to go abroad and go and study this and that. Just before you fill the form and click submit. Say, Lord, this is what I would like to do. Nevertheless. Not, let me say, it's not by faith. See, you can't use faith to control what you can't control. What's wrong with you? Could Joseph have used faith to determine whether he'll go to the house of Pharaoh or not? That house of Pharaoh. See, the path of God does not always seem nice. That's why we read from that New Living Translation of Matthew chapter 7, when it says, that narrow way is what? Difficult. It is not unbelief to say, nevertheless, on things that God didn't give you any assurance concerning. He did not tell you that this is my path to your progress. He didn't. You just like something. Anything that is just you are doing, just tell him, nevertheless, not your will. This arrogant faith that, no, by faith I've claimed it too. Look, I hope nobody here is claiming any woman by faith again. Do people still do such things? Eh? So, oh, you mean people, crazy people like that, they still exist? Yeah. I agree with you. Please, like a woman by faith. You can't claim her by faith. You get my point? Young boys, listen to me. There's nothing wrong with going kneeling down, telling God, I'm feeling right now. If Angela doesn't marry me, I may die. Oh. Tell the Lord like that. He too, he understands. Say, Pele, don't worry, you don't go die. But Lord, you know that's how I feel. Say, I know. I know. So, Lord, can I ask you to give me Angela? He will keep quiet. He won't say anything. He usually doesn't answer. Say, go and ask her to marry you. It's not hard. Then you go, that's it. You know, you go and bathe extra, put perfume on your body. That's when you now go and see JK to carve proposal shirt for you. Have you seen these people that kneel down when they want to ask a woman to marry them? If you're a disciple of mine, if I find that knee on the ground, I warn you now. Don't be silly, my friend. You know they kneel down for that kind of thing. It's every culture you will copy. Smile, that's what you need to do. Square your shoulders. Look up to heaven. Put out your hands. Say, in subjection to God, I ask you. That's more like a man who's going somewhere in life. I'll put a knee down. Don't be silly, my friend. Get up from there. If I'm a woman, I will kick you off that place. How can I marry a man, allow a man lead me, and he's on his knees? Kneel to God, don't kneel to me. Don't be silly. Think I'm joking. You may be laughing. It's a very bad habit. Want to marry a woman, you not kneel down, not carry flower. Turn the fire you do. Nonsense. Will you follow a man to battle who's kneeling before the private? We are charging in war. You are the captain of our platoon. You are kneeling down for us. Stop that rubbish. As soon as they say start batting, you reach the house now, the woman will do shoulder for you like that. You can't kneel down. Hey, you know, the way you get the results, how you sustain it. Those of you who knelt down before, repent when you get home. Then, well, you know, I knelt down that time. Pastor Bangi said, that knee is not good. Don't worry, my feeling has not changed, but now let me do what he said I should do. Father, in the name of Jesus, we marry according to your will. Nonsense. Every time I see them do it. My wife is looking at me. He says, is that why you did not kneel? I didn't even know they were supposed to kneel those days. I didn't see the kneeling thing. You know, this social media is letting you see all kinds of things. And movies. Anyway, like I was saying, well, I've left the kneeling thing behind, have you? Uh-huh. When you get there, if you finish all this, your in Jesus' name and everything, and you say, I know they married. Then go back and say, God, the guy said no. Because that's my will. Go home. See, women can waste your time. But if they say no, they hardly change their mind. I'm not saying they never do. It's just unusual. If they think about you and tell you, oh, no. Bro, believe it. You hear what I said? Don't let anybody waste your time. Believe it. They ain't going to change their mind. Yeah, there's one story of, that's how this, but he was patient. That's one guy out of 20. The other 19. They patiently attended her wedding. I've seen people that will somebody will now prophesy. Whatever is yours, nobody can collect. God will give it back to you. Because this thing is not your own. Leave it. I'm helping somebody. Any woman will not agree. When they say no one marry you, and you now think you will persuade her with gifts and offerings. Women are not Pentecostal preachers. Just understand. Did you hear what I said? They are not Pentecostal preachers. Carry your offering to church. Carry your tithes to church. If she says no, she means no. Yes. I've said, you that I'm talking to, you know yourself. You've been dancing around the house where they are not welcome. And when she says no, stop visiting. Because after that time, you're no longer welcome. She's just too nice and decent to drive you away. I know one brother does this. The sister had to go and complain to some of his friends. Tell him to stop coming to see me. He told me, I know what God said to me. What God said to you, he didn't say to her. The Lord is good. And those of you that have spoiled your romantic proposal plan, don't worry, you are now obeying God. You have left the things of the world behind. Point number one. What is it? Number two, what? Consecrate yourself regularly. Number three, with the grace of God, locate your place. Locate your place. There is a place where God wants to be. Locate it. There is a place where He wants to be. Locate that place. Time will not let me talk about this, so I'll just rush through them. God, where do you locate your place? You see doors of opportunity to be a blessing, to help, to work, where you have grace, if you're a responsible person. Number four, when you discover your assignment in life, focus on it. Prioritize whatever be the gift of God that He's using you to bless people with. Prioritize your assignment. Make it, like Jesus said, my food is to do the will of Him that sent me and to accomplish His work. He said in John chapter 4. Then the last two things I want to tell you is, don't compare yourself with other people. Very important. Don't compare yourself with other people. Let them run their own race. Let them run their own race. And last of all, very, very important, don't worry about your life. That's the last one. Very important. Don't worry about your life. Jesus told us, take no thought what you shall eat, what you shall drink, and with what shall you clothe yourselves. Because those are the things that will distract you from the previous ones. Those are the things that will distract. When you've done this, this is what I've said, the Spirit, the Word of God, will speak. See, knowing the will of God is not hard. Most times the problem is that people really, really don't want to know. If you do this that we have said, it's so easy when you pray, God, what am I supposed to do? You will find out easily. The major problem God has is removing the things that obstructing us from hearing what He wants to say. The Spirit still comes down, breaks up as cloven tongues of fire, dropping on each individual. It's a tongue. It's speaking to each person. And each person will hear what God is saying. And if they really want to know, they will know what He wants them to do. And it will come with the ability to do His will in their lives. Listen, I didn't say Christians are supposed to be poor. People want to misread you. I didn't say so. I just said Christians don't have a desire for riches. This is what they have the desire for, to fulfill God's will for their lives. But listen to this. My God, Paul said, shall supply all their needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You know what He said? He will make all grace abound towards us, we His children, so that we will have all sufficiency in all things and abound to every good work. He said, the Lord, David was saying, is my shepherd. I shall not want. What does that mean? God supplies all my needs. And He does that all the time to every child of God. Can you bow down your heads and just say, Father, thank you for again for this teaching of the word. Just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I thank you.